You are listening to Universal Life Trinity's Biblically Speaking with Nevaeh D. Trinity, where God's words becomes a lifestyle.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, depending on which time you are tuning in. Welcome to today's Bible study, and the topic for discussion is going to be on agape. How exciting is that? The readings for today's lesson is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, and same book, 14th chapter, verse 1. I'm going to start first with 13, because 13 beautifully illustrates God's love, which is where we are supposed to be in consciousness. That chapter is listed in the Amplified Bible, which is the only Bible I always use. The excellence of love is the name of the chapter, and verse 4 begins by saying, love endures with patience and serenity. Love is kind and thoughtful, and is not jealous or envious. Love does not brag and is not proud or arrogant. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not provoked nor overly sensitive and easily angered. It does not take into account a wrong endured. It does not rejoice at injustice, but rejoices with the truth when right and truth prevail. Love bears all things regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. Love never fails, it never fades nor ends, and it continues. Chapter 13 illustrates what love looks like in action. Now we're going to take a look at chapter 14, verse 1. Which reads, pursue this love with eagerness, make it your goal, yet earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual gifts to be used by believers for the benefit of the church, but especially that you may prophesy, to foretell the future, to speak a new message from God to the people. Chapter 14, verse 1 is encouraging us to become it, and to become it as if we are it, and we are supposed to be it for the church. The idea of love today has been inundated with materialistic things, at least the idea of love. It's about getting, receiving, having, being with, and never without, has been what love looks like in this day and age. But that's not love. Love doesn't demand of itself. Love just is. And as long as you think of yourself as human, you will always look at love from that perspective, from getting and having and keeping. But that's not love. That's not God's love. If you can imagine being loved by someone, or should I say being loved for someone, that you can brighten up their day, you can change their whole entire morning if you were only to be loved instead of seeking to be loved. Because when you are seeking to be loved, you're standing in a space of lack and scarcity. Not only that, but then your mind begins to play tricks that are not true, like you're not worthy of love, you're ugly, you're worthless, you're useless. Those are the workings of the mind, and these thoughts are in the mind, but you don't have to occupy that space of mind. If you can get out of the mind and move more into your heart space without resistance, knowing that you are now the supplier of love, so it's okay to open your heart. But if you are just constantly thinking about having and keeping and getting and wanting love, you will always seek to have those things because no one can give it to you. You already have it. It's innate with you. It's something that is you. You are love. So if you are love, how can you demand someone else to give you who you are? Do you understand how silly that is? If you are love itself, as a supplier, pouring into others, uplifting others, seeking the best for others at all times, then you will never have to seek it outside of you from anywhere else, because you realize you are it. All you have to do is just be yourself. Be that love. The beauty about love in the agape form is this. It's a frequency. While it's often believed that love is an emotion, from a feeling, from a feeling state, love is really an energy. It's a frequency. So you have to strive to raise yourself in consciousness and delight in the fact knowing you are love. Can you imagine if more people experienced you as love? How many more people would be healed? How many more people would be strengthened just by you? All you gotta do is find yourself worthy enough to realize and actualize and become that person in that space. That is love. A supplier gives because it has. A seeker sorts out because it doesn't. You get to choose which side of the spectrum you're going to occupy in this state called love. And depending on where you land and depending on which side you choose will determine what kind of life is waiting for you. Is it a life of pain, sorrow, hopelessness, worry, fear, doubt? Or are you going to choose the side where everything is possible? And everyone matters because you are at the center of it all. You are love. And you are love supplied by love because God's frequency is that love frequency. And this is why you must always remain in that frequency because it keeps you closer to spirit. And as long as you are close to spirit, nothing can truly go wrong. But you have to know that you are worthy of that space and you can find that space. All you got to do is go within. Go within that space that feels. And don't shy away from the feelings that don't feel so great. Those feelings allows you to be able to relate to those who are going through the same things and just don't know how to get out of it. But you will. And once you do, oh my God, life will become so magically delicious for you. You will not be able to recognize yourself. Everything around you will be different. The people that you speak to, those who you network with, people in your corner, those who are rallying behind you for your cause, Your cause is God's cause. And because your cause is God's cause, God's will is for you to prosper in your journey as love, for you to receive all that is coming to you as blessings, because God blesses those who are loving, who are kind, patient, compassionate, empathetic. God loves those qualities and attributes to be demonstrated in His name by you. And it's because it is God that is working through you when you are at that space, when you have reached that level. And let me tell you, baby, when you get there, there is no turning back, because you realize and recognize that this whole time you've been looking for yourself. You've only been seeking yourself. Yourself is the only one that has ever mattered to you, because yourself is love. You are just misguided and misled and miseducated in believing to think that you can only receive love from people. And if people are not giving it to you, then something is wrong with you. And I'm here to tell you that is not true. Now, I don't know who I'm speaking to right now. I'm not paying attention to the comment section. So if you are here, then you are meant to hear this. This is for you. God wants you to open your eyes, and not the two eyes that accompanies your face, but the eyes that comes in understanding through wisdom, not intellect, but consciousness, which is intelligence. Intelligence supersedes intellect. You see, intellect is learned through data coming from outside, but intelligence, that is something that is stored within you. You come with it. No one has to teach it to you. In fact, the moment you said, "I am," no one told you to say, "I am this" or "I am that." It was a natural awareness. You were present in this existence. That I am part of me is the I am that resides as consciousness, awareness. So when you say, "I am kind, I am forgiving, I am patient, I am thoughtful, merciful, I am love," those are the things you are supposed to be. Those are the only thoughts and ideas you are to proclaim for yourself. And never ever allow anyone to dictate to you who you are, because God already authorized and announced that in yourself from the statement of "I am." I am is the Jehovah part of you. I am is that spiritual man that is you. You're not one with the soul. You are working through the soul. Oh, you are so much greater than you've ever knew. You are so much grander than anything anyone has ever told you. And I need you to see this for yourself. Because without you seeing this for yourself and knowing this for yourself, you will always come to believe everything that anyone and everyone has ever said, will say, and is going to say about you. The only way you can experience yourself fully in the manner in which God created you is to open up yourself to love, and that includes pain. Those people who I seen were different and I didn't want those results, they left me. So because they left me and they said that they loved me, how can I expect differently from you? I can't. Because no one has yet proven them wrong. But I'm here to tell you, God's love is not like that at all. God's love is recognized when you can open up your mind for yourself, a great presence that comes with intelligence, and foreknowing, decided to still create me. And not only did this force, this presence, this power choose to make a conscious decision to create me, I was birthed in an environment governed by laws. And when I say laws, I'm not talking about the ones that man sets. Those are rules and regulations that are required and necessary for civilized people, okay, to be safe from those who are uncivilized. You see, the laws that the government and that your cities and your states and your municipalities that they have, those are called rules and regulations, which changes over time depending on who is in where, okay? But those are necessary because it's for those uncivilized people. Civilized people, we don't need these laws to be civilized. We come civilized. We demonstrate we are civilized. So those laws doesn't apply to us. It's for the people that are breaking rules, okay? Rule breakers. That's who they're for. God, on the other hand, has implemented universal laws, or should I say laws that operates and functions and yields and works out universally, because God is impartial. Man's laws are for criminals. God's laws is for your life. It's for your life. Depending on how you choose to move, think, and feel in spirit, that's how you're going to be judged. That's where your judgment is concerned. It's not in your words that you speak towards other people and, you know, slurs and insults or offensive remarks that can be potentially hazardous to another. No. God's laws are, in God's judgment is immediate, because God is always working in the space of now. God is a God of now. God was the same, will never change, and will continue to be exactly the way he is. That's why it said God is unchanging. And with God being unchanging, an unchanging God, that means that God always is what God always was and will continue to always be what it always has been. That's how God is. So this is how God works as judgment, as a judge. So when we say, you cannot judge me, only God can, we are simply speaking from this the perspective of universal laws are the ones that we abide to. The universal laws are the ones that causes things to happen. It's also the conduit in which things can change for the person. Your vibrations, your frequencies, your thoughts, your feelings, your actions always only affect you. No matter how much you would like what you say and do and feel towards someone else to make them feel as bad as they made you feel. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. God is not a God that creates that way. God will never allow all of us to be against all of us. We would destroy each other. We would destroy ourselves. So God decided, because it was the most wisest thing to do, is to have everyone responsible for their own experiences. So if anything ever goes wrong, we don't have to wait for another person to get on board with our plan before anything takes place. No, we can have what we desire immediately, because it's always now. And because it's always now and it's never going to be then, because by the time then comes, it's going to be now, just then. Our laws, our punishments, which we don't even look at as punishments, we see them as results and consequences, are immediate. And because they are immediate, we have sense to know that we better act right if we want to have what we desire. Our act right is an act right not out of fear. Our act right is an act right because we're smart. Okay, we obey not because we're afraid. We obey because it works out better for us. We obey laws that says if we do this, we're going to have that. If we do that, then we're going to get this. Law of polarity. We don't care about how we feel about it. We don't care if we don't like what happened and the way that it is. Who cares? We don't care. We are result driven. We want to find solutions. That's what suppliers are. They're solutionists. They like to help others resolve their issues, their problems, or whatever it is that they're coming with in the form of lack, fear, or scarcity. So when you are able to decide to open up yourself to pain that can come from betrayal, cheating, lies, and all the things that, you know, you normally run from, you try to shut yourself off from, until you can open up yourself to all of those things and be okay feeling it. In fact, I would even go as far as to encourage you to sit in it. Get familiar with that feeling and understand and recognize it's just a feeling. Nothing is really happening outside. Everything that you're feeling is caused from within your mind space, within your thoughts, within your mindset, one framed for you, one created by you, one which that can expand, it can grow, it can develop, or it can stay the same. The choice is always yours. That's your authority. And while your life may not go as you would like it to, you will be helping other people vicariously, looking at you, seeing what you're doing, seeing what you're getting, seeing how you like it or dislike it, and then we decide for ourselves if we want to follow you. And this is how and why we follow the patterns of Jesus, because the patterns of Jesus has been proven and is able to be proven, but it could only be experienced by you. It can only be proven to you. That proven space, that's yours. We don't have access to that, nor do you have access to ours. So Jesus, as an example, is a better option for us because we've read about it, right? We've imagined it for ourselves. We were even brave enough to be the ones, unlike most, that says, I want to be like Jesus. Because when it comes to Jesus and another person, you will more often hear, I'm not Jesus. I'm not Jesus. I can't be that forgiving. I'm not Jesus. I can't be that patient. I'm not Jesus. I can't be that nice. You see? As long as they are in that mindset, they're justifying their bad behaviors. Yeah, see, that doesn't seem like a way we would like to go. As Christians, and you will know a Christian by their patterns, just like you know a doctor by his pattern. He went to school for a certain amount of years. He did a certain amount of years in internship. He's actually proven himself to be that because he's in the role of a doctor doing surgeries and all that crap. Like, no one can argue the fact that this man or woman is a doctor, right? Because they are demonstrating doctor stuff, okay? So just because someone calls themselves a Christian, it doesn't make them a Christian. Christians are identified by types of behaviors, patterns of thinking and thought, and even in their volition, how they deliver their speeches. How do they interact with others? Are they interacting with others in kindness, patience, understanding, coming from wisdom? Are they moving God-like? Because that's what Jesus was. Jesus was God manifested as man in man form, meaning that we are a manifestation, or should I say an expression, manifested as us. However, with our mindset and the level of consciousness in which we are working through and from, we become ungodlike. So Jesus is a representation, a symbolic form of a human being doing it the perfect way. To get that desire that you are striving for, that you are reaching for, that you want to attain for yourself, you are it. So, I implore you all to seek to reach for yourself that space of righteousness, that space that encompasses and embodies and encompasses love, wisdom, kindness, and truth. Truth with a capital T. Because only that truth has agape as a form. Without truth, there's no agape. That universal love. That love for no reason, but just because, you see. I'm going to end this lesson. I want to thank you all for joining in today, for tuning in today. It's been a blast. It's been a wonderful thing. Until next time, love and light. Stay magically delicious as we remain brothers and sisters and siblings in Christ.